Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, we got some football for you, my friends. Free kicks, throw-ins, 3 points for a win if you're lucky. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. It's Friday, 8th of March. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Eddie Russell.
Oh! Three goes of that. That was the best cut. Jim Campbell, welcome to the show. Andy Brassel, hope you are well. We've got a packed show today. Marcus isn't here, so that's why I'm underwhelming to start the show. In the Europa League, Romulus Remus and that big-titted wolf took down a seagull or two in the Europa League to the tune of 4 goals, Andy Brassel. I mean, Brighton's very first European knockout game, and it just was not good enough, was it?
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, post-Mourinho, well, since Mourinho took charge, actually, you get this incredible atmosphere at Roma home games. They've done the wise thing. They got to the point where they had to get rid of Mourinho, okay? Mm. So they replaced the only, because he was still loved by a lot of fans, they replaced him with the only person that could really step in and carry on that good vibe, which was Daniele De Rossi. Mm. Now, of course, a lot of people from the outside said, well, he's been in charge of Spal for 16 games. It wasn't particularly successful, and that's it. But maybe it doesn't have to be that he's a great manager. Maybe he's just great for Roma. Mm. And certainly in terms of keeping the feeling up at the moment. The other side of that, of course, is the fact is, if Mourinho was still in charge, there's no way they would have gone out and beaten Brighton 4-0. Mm. So they're actually playing some quite exciting football now.
They were great in this match.
Obviously, part of that is leaving Brighton a few chances, because they had a few chances, particularly in the first half, before they started really getting tanked. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Welbs should have had two. Yeah. The header, he kind of got under, and he should have got his shot at least on target.
Yeah, absolutely. That one with his left, yeah. Mm. I think as well, Brighton were architects of their own downfall a little bit, weren't they? I think they kind of froze a little bit on the occasion. I think it's fair to say the first goal just undone by a really, really simple pass. And Lewis Dunk, obviously, is a very good defender. We've had a lot of praise for him.
Yeah, an awful game.
He had a terrible game.
Lewis Dunk for England. I seem to recall you having a bit of a shout about.
Yeah, it did make me wonder if that might potentially also happen on the grand stage, because that's the thing you forget about European football, isn't it? That it is not the Premier League, and the atmosphere is very different. The approach of the opposition is very different, and harder to predict because you're less used to it. However much video analysis you might do, and you can get just kind of caught short, really, in a situation where suddenly it's just happening to you and everything's getting away from you. Like, Romelu Lukaku, for all his faults, is always going to score in that situation. Like, once he's getting away from you like that, you just know you're staring down the barrel of something quite serious there. And you want to get into halftime at 1-0 in that situation, ideally. 2-0 is bad. But the problems carried on in the second half. And I was sort of, I was impressed with Roma smelling blood, as they did, but also after they got that fourth goal, setting up as if they were down to nine men defending a 1-0 lead in injury time of the Champions League final. They were just making sure Brighton were not going to get anything. And that's the sort of canniness that you come across, isn't it, in kind of knockout European football.
And they are really good in cups. Yeah. You know, if you go back over the last two or three years, they've been brilliant in cup competitions. So those players,
that intensity that comes from the crowd almost as well.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think the way they really went for it though, from the off, that was something a little bit different. It was something. It was like De Rossi was playing in the last round against Feyenoord. It was like he was still playing with Mourinho's Roma, and now he's playing with his own Roma. I mean, the fact that Dybala's fit makes it. Absolutely huge difference, obviously, because he's a brilliant player.
I mean, Roma were excellent in this match. I mean, if we're looking at the positives on Brighton's side, at least De Zerbi's not quite as attractive to Man United.
they got some beer in the stands.
Yeah,
that is
true. Yeah, the half and half scarves could be reused for the second leg. I don't know. I'll just switch them around. But I mean, like De Zerbi, Andy, he's not a defensive manager. It's probably okay to say that. And when your team goes through such a dry spell, which they seem to be going through at the moment, you're going to find yourself in a bit of bother.
That is the thing, isn't it, Pete? You want to go back to basics as those times like that, but he's inherently a manager who loves to take risks. That is the thing, isn't it? So look, I think a lot's been made of the fact that, you know, this is the first time in 4 years he's lost three successive games, Brighton are having a bit of a dip, etc. But I think the surprise is not that Brighton are having a dip, it's that it hasn't happened earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Because we know it's a club that is really well run, really well organised. You look at the succession of De Zerbi to Potter. Everything they've done has been brilliant. They've done well post McAllister, losing other players before. But the reality is, for them, a first European campaign was always going to make the season really difficult. So for people to turn around and go, oh, well, they've fallen off a bit in the Premier League, of course they are.
Yeah,
of course they are. Better resource clubs have that, and especially in a maiden European season.
Yeah, people are comparing them to like Wolves, and you're like, Wolves have spent some cash as well, you know, and they've not had European football to contend with necessarily.
Also, the team that got them into this situation is not the team we're seeing now. You know, they essentially sold the heart of that midfield, and understandably so, because it's their model, but it's going to take time to adjust, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, can De Zerbi sort of go upstairs and sort of go, look, we are 39 points at the moment, like, can I just piss about a bit for the rest of the season? Yeah. Can I just try some stuff out? We've got a crop of amazing young players coming through. Can I just mess around for a bit?
I like the idea that you think he's going to ask.
That's a good point, actually.
And also that the Brighton hierarchy will be like, he's right, we probably won't get relegated, so what is there to lose?
Yeah, another elaborate celebration as well from the Roma players. Gianluca Mancini hurdled the hoardings after scoring Roma's third and did a bow for the crowd. I loved that celebration, but I loved that goal. I know it was quite simple, just end of the tour kind of diversion past the keeper, but the way in slow motion that ball just stops ever so briefly and dances on the end of his toe. And
it's
then
like he deliberately over-controlled
direction.
It, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. I absolutely love it.
Well, it's always better when Mancini's scoring than when someone else is scoring. I think when Mancini scores, all the other Roma players are like, oh, thank God for that. Because it is like a rite of passage, especially with the young Roman players. You get three slaps in the face from Mancini when you score.
Really? Right, okay.
Happened to Eduardo Bove quite a lot of times. And, you know, it's kind of like a cult moment on Roma social media. But it's not like a gentle caress. He probably wants
absolutely whacks to the sense out of you. It's like concussion protocols at the ready. Roberto De Zerbi, as I said, has now lost three games in a row for the first time since 2020. Another manager under a fire as well is one David Moyes. West Ham got their second defeat in European football in 18 months, which is not a bad record when you think about it. I know, you know, it's the under competition, but still, Freiburg beating them 1-0 at home. There was a 4-minute VAR check for handball right at the end of the game. It's what you want to see, Jim.
Absolutely, it's ideal, isn't it? That's why we brought it in, to add to the tension, add to the drama. Well, I don't see any issue with that.
You said on the West Ham, the West Ham group, the WhatsApp group last night that David Moyes was setting up for a lovely 2-0 win at home.
Yeah, I think
next
it's
week.
A stroke of genius.
Yeah, it is.
It'll bring the good times back to the Olympic Stadium. So it's quite a populist result, this. I think. But genuinely, David Moyes has found salvation in Europe, hasn't he, with West Ham? And he's brought a lot of good times
there. He knows the continent, Jim.
He does know the continent. He's he's managed to relieve pressure on their domestic form with European adventures, which, you know, bring a lot of joy to West Ham. And and it is, obviously he's not deliberately set up like this, but it is set up for that to happen again. I think Freiburg were pretty dull. They didn't really threaten much. The goal was, a little bit of a sucker punch, I suppose, but you would think West Ham will have enough to turn that around in the second leg. So I don't think this is necessarily that bad a result.
I would slightly nuance that in that I think it's not a disastrous result because they can overcome it, but it's quite a disappointing result when you bear in mind that, you know, I think Freiburg had the better of it early on, and then it felt like West Ham worked it out, played with a lot more intensity, especially at the start of the second half, missed some really good chances, by the way. And in a game like this that feels as if it's heading for a 0-0 for a lot of it, it's easy to forget some of that detail. But Mavropanos should have scored, Paquetar could have scored, and then you don't take it and you get, as you say, sucker punched at the end. Of course, all of it is going to be overshadowed by the VAR nonsense at the end of it, which it's just disgusting. You know, sometimes you can, on rare occasions, you know the atmosphere is incredible at a stadium because you can feel the atmosphere coming out of the television and you're like, oh, that's quite unusual. You could feel the contempt for the whole process coming out of the television really there, couldn't you?
Yeah. Well, if we head down, I'm just looking at Google Maps, Zinvaldestrasse towards Prague, last part of Prague, 1, Liverpool 5. Darwin
Sounds
Nunes.
Like a road trip.
It really does. Darwin Nunes scoring a burst with his two excellent strikes. It really was. He's wasted them here, isn't he? Like, can we not have them in the league?
He's so such an unusual player, isn't he? Because he's really good at scoring goals where you think he's not got hope of scoring from there, or just trying something really, really strange. Whereas, you know, as we know, the simple ones, sometimes he misses things that you think he should be scoring all day. I wonder if he might be the world's best lacrosse player. So I look at lacrosse, there's not a single thing about that game that's simple.
No,
it's ridiculous.
I think with I mentioned the celebrated sport of highlight before we got in the studio, that volley for the second is very much like a highlight player would sort of rip a ball out of whatever the highlight thing is, whatever the highlight handy thing is. But yeah, I mean, the second one is set up for him beautifully, and he had a lot of time to hit it, but still, it was a lovely, lovely hit.
It was, and he looks like he's loving life, doesn't he? Which is bad news for everyone else, because he enjoys inflicting pain on the rest of us and laughing about it. Liverpool were irresistible, though, weren't they? They're really, really good. It was, at the beginning of it, it was actually quite an open game. Sparta made a couple of decent chances that they just didn't have the quality to put away. Well, Keller had to make a pretty good save early on.
He's been very, very good. Very assured. Absence, hasn't he?
Well, because he obviously didn't have the best of time against Fulham, I think, earlier in the season when he was covering for Alisson. But he's some goalkeeper, and he's 25. Someone's got to pick him up. He can't be just warming the bench here. I know he gets a lot of game time here, you know, in certain cup competitions, but good God.
That is the thing. How would Liverpool replace him? It would be quite hard because, you know, to have a goalkeeper that good backing up one of the better goalkeepers in the world is just such an unusual situation. You're right, it feels like an unsustainable situation, particularly given his age. But I don't know. The thing that it underlines to me, of course, Liverpool are doing brilliantly at the moment. I think Liverpool are far ahead of where a lot of people thought they would be at this point in the season. Having said that, the way that we judge goalkeepers, we don't judge them on the fact that, you know, if a team's doing amazingly, they'll maybe have to make one save in a game and they do it really well. That's not been the case with Kelleher.
No.
Kelleher has been a bit nearer to peak Manchester United David De Gea. So what does that actually tell us? It's telling us what we've been saying for most of the season, that Liverpool's results were a little bit better than the performances. Now, of course,
because they've got a great goalkeeper.
Exactly. But does it tell you also that they're conceding too many chances and maybe they're going to get smashed at some point?
Well, it's not happened yet.
No.
It's not happened yet.
I'd be surprised if they got smashed at any point just because of the quality of that central defensive pairing. Though that said, Konate did pick up an injury, but Jarrell Kwanzaa's looked very good when he's deputised. But I guess we'll see.
I mean, Conor Bradley, if he's knocking them in for fun like that.
Yeah, that's not helpful, is it?
I mean, one of the great on goals, Andy.
It was a brilliant finish. He'd only been on 30 seconds as well. I mean, he had a rival for super sub of the night, former Liverpool left back, Alberto Moreno, playing for Villarreal in their disastrous result at Marseille last night. Came on a sub at half-time to shore things up. Alberto Moreno to shore things up at half-time. Got two bookings in 15 minutes and then off you go.
See you later.
Albert Brown.
Woodgate-esque. Mo Salah came on for the last 10 minutes of this match. He will be ready, fresh and ready to go for what is presumably the biggest game this season in the Barclays. Liverpool versus Manchester City, Sunday, 3:45. Second place versus the leaders in the latest chapter in the Liverpool-Manchester City rivalry. It's getting good, this, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, this feels like it's funny, isn't it? It's going to be the last one. It has defined the Premier League for the past like six, seven seasons, this clash. And also, you know, Klopp and Guardiola have their history from Bayern and Dortmund as well. So it's...
It could be the last one as well. It could be the last chance for Klopp to take points off Pep.
Possibly, yeah. And obviously Liverpool have a really good record against City at Anfield. Mm. It's something that City have struggled with a little bit. And the motivation for both teams, both managers is really, really high, isn't it? Obviously Liverpool want to go out on a high, and Pep Guardiola will want to spoil that party and sort of put a definitive positive end to that record there. It's I hope it's a ding-dong and we see the sort of quality of both teams and it isn't one of those ones where they sort of cancel each other out a little bit.
But I don't think it will be.
These aren't teams where that happens.
No, because I think...
Liverpool are too leaky.
Yeah, Liverpool are too leaky. But you know what? City give you a chance as well, don't they? So I think... You know, there's no doubt we're going to see Edison on the halfway line at some point, even though it's an away game in the biggest game of the season. I think a really interesting thing about this, and we kind of touched upon this when we were talking about rivalries on the mailbag last week. This is such a different rivalry to all the others in Premier League history because it's just aesthetically based. It's just based on the fact that they've been the two best teams in the Premier League for a really long time. There's no real disrespect. Mm. There's no real historical rivalry to it or whatever.
Well, there's not a historical rivalry to it, but I think there is a clash of cultures there, isn't there? And we'll come on to Trent Alexander-Arnold's comments about it. And I think, you know...
Liverpool pretend they haven't spent any money.
Well, but the way Liverpool have made their money is very different, isn't it?
Having their cake and eat it. A lot of their argument isn't about where the money's coming from. It's very much like you've spent too much money rather than we've spent too little. I think it's, you know, Liverpool have spent a fair whack.
They have, but their success is a lot more organic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm on board with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean...
They're still living off the Filipe Coutinho money,
aren't they? They put it in a high-interest ISA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Trent Alexander-Arnold, very much involved in doing a bit of off-field shithousing. He's been stirring the pot this week. He claimed that Liverpool's trophies meant more to us and our fan base than Manchester City's. And obviously the icing on the cake was Haaland's response, which was measured, Jim, kind of. I mean, it was through... really smiley face.
Yeah, he was amused by it in a way that's frightening.
Yeah, and like a warlord.
Yeah,
might be amused at something.
Or like a school bully that's being nice to someone that they're gonna later like put in a bin.
Yeah,
and everyone knows that's gonna happen. he said if he wants to say that, okay, I've been here 1 year and I won the treble and it was quite a nice feeling. I don't think he knows this feeling. That's what I felt last season. It was quite nice. I mean, it sounds relatively benign, but it really is the grin as he's saying it.
No, you set it up well. You made him sound like Biff Tannen out of Back to the Future there.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, but I think mind games aren't going to work on Haaland. Malware, maybe.
Will someone get a virus into that man?
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Ransomware.
Yeah, as we touched on, I think it's not unreasonable for Alexander-Arnold to say that in terms of how the success has been built. I do think there's something slightly distasteful about a professional footballer telling fans of another club how much they can enjoy their success when it's a huge, huge part of your life and the money you spend on your team if you're just a regular person.
And also these things stick in fans' memories, and if we know one thing about football is that there are fewer and fewer places for big ticket players to go. And Man City is very much a place where he could end up.
I'd be astonished if he ever ended up there. But
I like the evil in that suggestion. I mean, let's encourage it, Jim. Let's not bat it down.
Fine. Pep said that Phil Foden is the best player in the league after his performance in the Manchester Derby last weekend. But he did follow that up with some... It wasn't really faint praise. It was just a pop. He was just having a go at his player. Football, he lives for it. This is Phil Foden he's talking about. The pressure for Phil is that if he has to do a press conference about the last book he read, but football, he loves it.
Well, it's unlikely that he's going to have to do a press conference on that.
It would be World Book Day, that's about it. And even then, you're encouraged to talk about kids' books at that point.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean,
no one ever says Madame Bovary, do they?
No, I would say back in 2018, Pep Guardiola did say on his favourite books, because he was asked in the presser about his favourite books, he said, "I don't read. I start reading, and before I know it, I am reading about Jurgen Klopp. I can't be fucked with that." So that's Pep Guardiola literally saying that he doesn't read, and then he's having a go at Phil Foden saying that has he suddenly got a Kindle for Christmas? What's going on?
I mean, Foden's an interesting one, isn't he, Jim? Because if you think the most memorable recent Manchester City win at Anfield, when Alisson had that really bizarre game,
yeah,
that was Foden unloading on them,
yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't it? And Foden is like something like six times the player now that he was then. I don't think, because immediately when you hear Pep Guardiola says that Foden is the best player in the league, you have a little, you know, really? Are we sure about that? And then you're like, actually, it's not a mad suggestion, is it?
No.
It's something that we could sit here and debate, but it's not a mad suggestion. This is definitely Foden's best season for Manchester City. And now it's like De Bruyne, the player that they relied on so heavily for so long, is just nice to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's 23 years old, Phil Foden, which feels terrifying in some ways, doesn't it? He's won everything.
Unless the thing happens to Manchester City, he's never leaving.
Yeah, sure.
Is he?
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't get the sense that there's any sort of desire for that from Foden. I think he loves Man City, doesn't he? He's obviously the kind of jewel in their current crown. And where would he go? Real Madrid? Probably not going to go to Italy.
Oh, linking up.
Bayern might be fun, but...
Linking up with Bellingham. Oh, lovely. Beautiful. That's exactly what the England team needs. Sorry, I think this chair's giving me England... I think Marcus has left.
Marcus got England dust all over it.
I was going to say Scotch egg. That's very much not English, is it? Where do you see this one going, Andy? I mean, surely Manchester City are just too mechanical to let this slip. I know it's away from home.
I think they get a result in this. I'm not saying they definitely win or anything like that, but this idea of Liverpool's incredible momentum, I think City, in an occasion like this, are just going to show how good they are. And especially if you think of that first game between the two at the Etihad, like City should have won that, and Trent's like brilliant goal got Liverpool a point that they definitely didn't deserve in that. So I think if you look at the team that Manchester City picked in a Champions League week, and I understand they won away in Copenhagen, and yes, it was Copenhagen who aren't one of the favourites of the competition, et cetera, et cetera. The way they made Pep Guardiola made seven changes to that, that sense of, you've got a massive game at the weekend, and I know we're playing in the Champions League, and I know we're the holders, and I know Copenhagen have the quality to make it a little bit difficult for us at various points, and it's like, yeah, whatever, we're playing Liverpool at the weekend, this is absolutely massive. And they're about to enter, because of course they have Newcastle in the Cup next week as well, and you look at the forthcoming fixtures for City, that was the only point where they could take even a half breath, and you get the sense that they've come up for air, they've taken that deep breath, and it's like, right, we're going to swim the channel now. Come on.
From Arsenal's perspective, you, over successive seasons, we've seen Manchester City just sort of go, look, it's ours now. We're not going to drop a single point. We're not going to put a foot wrong. And you've seen Arsenal not do that, and you've seen Liverpool not do that at certain times.
Well, I think, actually, Liverpool are obviously the model to follow, because they essentially reacted to City standard and were like, okay, well then that's what we have to do. There's always a point where after, you know, City hit their 100 points, you'd be looking at the next season thinking, well, we've got to win every game. We've got to win every single game to have a chance of beating a team that can do this.
But when Liverpool say that, or Arsenal say that, they're saying, we've got to win every game. But when Man City say that, we have to win every game. It's a different temperature, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, there's been six or seven seasons of it now. So I think there's perhaps a little bit less panic from those that are trying to chase them down, because they've raised the quality in response, right? As much as we talk about, you know, City doing what they've done and how they've done it, the teams around them have had to get better in response to it. And I think it's maybe a little less fraught this season from Arsenal's perspective in particular, because they're now chasing rather than being chased, which makes a big difference. Liverpool have obviously been here before. They've got the experience of that with Klopp, and they've obviously won the Champions League in that time as well. So it's they're no mugs.
Yeah.
So it is shaping up to be a really amazing three-way race, isn't it? However it goes, I really hope that it stays like this right until the end.
Yeah.
Because
it'd be incredible.
We've seen a ridiculous two horse race in a way we didn't think we ever would. A three horse race would be fantastic of this standard.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of dressing room panic, Mario Balotelli showed this week why he isn't playing for either Manchester City or Liverpool. There was a video of him setting off a small firework in the Demirspor dressing room. Andy, it's sad to see a once promising talent in the fireworks in a room game. Resorting to such underwhelming fireworks. I expected more from the man.
I think he's got them on the corner shop on the way to the stadium.
Yes, yeah.
That's what everyone gets when they go to Greece or Turkey on holiday, isn't
Bangers.
It? And yeah. Essentially, he does seem to be having a holiday. He's not even getting in the 11 right. now at Adana Demirspor.
He's sharpened his ninja stars he's bought.
Yeah.
Nunchucks, exactly.
Whatever you buy. By the way, Andy, you were talking on last weekend's mailbag, which you should still listen to, still up there on the feed, about rivalries and fans using things from the distant past to banter other clubs. On Tuesday night, Real Sociedad fans revealed a tifo against PSG referencing the Basques' victory over the Franks in the Battle of Roncesvalles in 778 AD. Is that a little early? Is that because we talk about the war a lot in this country? That seems excessively a long time to get excited about something that happened such a long time ago.
Well, it's not raw, at least.
No,
the statute of limitation.
Are they going to find out that they didn't actually ever one party didn't ever give up and they just kind of didn't
still
sign
going
anything.
Like a Berwick on tweet going, sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose we're looking at that as well. And the obvious joke is that like PSG fans don't remember their team of the 90s. They're not going to remember that, are they?
Well, I hope there's like one set of PSG supporters who are also historians.
Yeah,
who are somewhere in the stadium, absolutely raging at that, like really, really riled by it.
How dare they? Roma fans apparently revealed a banner last night saying the Queen gave blowjobs.
Yeah, there you go, a bit more recent.
Yeah, and only one person can dispute it.
Yeah,
not around anymore. So it's excellent. Is it brilliant work?
It's just, I mean, I'm sure I'm not going to besmirch the good names of any queens, any monarchs, living or dead, to be quite frank. I think it's really disappointing.
That is a big
favourite
of Italian fans when the English visit. They think, oh, we'll get after the monarchy. That'll annoy them. I remember leaving, you know, that Newcastle Inter game at San Siro where Shearer scored a couple and Vieri scored a couple, what, 2002? I remember we were in the Inter end, me and my friends for that, and we walked out. And someone just brushed past us on the way out and went, "Your queen is a whore."
They really think we're going to get really upset. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, nuts. God. if she's a German one. Aston Villa versus Spurs, Man United, Everton, coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ollie, I know it's half time in the tie, but that's an incredible advantage. Do you feel like the job is done?
No, don't feel like the job is done, but it was a good job done.
He sounds a little bit like, you know, the bootlegger, that Wrexham-based Welsh roofer.
Yes.
He's sort of, little kind of like, all right, baby. A reminder to head over to On the Continent for your weekly Friday dose of Ask OTC, where Andy and Dotton were joined by Lars Siverson this week, tuning in from Tbilisi. Mike, he only broke his leg last year, Andy. Now he's rocking around the Caucasus.
it's like Uncle Albert in the market, isn't it? I know I'm playing to the crowd here, Pete.
Love a bit of horny fools.
Where he gets this back massager and he starts tap dancing and stuff. And they're like, yeah, we think you're overdoing it.
Well, he brought news that former Blackburn manager Steve Keane is managing Georgian top flight side Torpedo Kutaisi, which is quite exciting. You big Steve Keane in management, in a far-flung managerial role?
Definitely. Well, I'm hoping that Lars can get out there in the wild and maybe get a bit of pub chat from Steve Keane, because that's what he specialises at, isn't it? You can get some good goss from Keno when he's in the pub.
Well, check out On the Continent in your podcast app and hit subscribe to get more European football chat. This weekend, Sunday at 1 p.m, we've got a bit of a humdinger, to be quite frank. Aston Villa versus Spurs. They drew 0-0 away at John Henderson's Ajax last night in the Europa Conference League. Was John Henderson doing any like long runs and shouting and punching at the crowd?
I mean, I know we all enjoyed that on socials last week.
Yeah.
We saw the goalkeeper launch it up the pitch.
John Henderson going on like a chasing
down.
Scraps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not getting really much at all and then just giving it the fist bumps.
I mean, bear in mind that Ajax are probably, with Barcelona, the most famous for their particular style of very careful football.
Yes.
In the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see Jordan Henderson doing that.
See the influence.
That's Ajax all over the world. Yeah. I know, it's like Peter Kay playing for Barcelona in that advert, isn't it? It's just, if you're an Ajax fan, you must be looking at that thinking, oh, God.
Well, this is a massive game at the in the race for the top four. Aston Villa reported £120 million losses this week, so they're going to need that Champions League money, aren't they?
They really, really are.
Timo Werner scored his first goal in a Spurs shirt last weekend. Is it all starting to turn around a little bit for Werner?
Well, I think he's played really well since he's arrived at Spurs. I think they signed him knowing he might miss, he might not score a lot of goals, he might miss some sitters.
Yeah.
But the way he's bought into the team ethic, the way that he covered, they got him right at the moment they needed him to cover Hummingson. And I think he's been pretty good since the beginning. I mean, Werner's idea, get over there, get games, get picked for Euro 2024 in the Germany squad, because they have holes up front at the moment. And he just wasn't getting a game at Leipzig as well. So it looks like it's working for everyone. From the moment he signed, you look at the low fee as well. Unless he was really shit, there was no way Spurs weren't going to sign him permanently. Spurs will sign him permanently. I think he's super useful, especially for the sort of way that they want to play. You think of Villa's high line. He could have some fun in this, I reckon. It could be interesting. Although, you know, when we're setting it up as a big game in the race for the top four, yes, it is. But I think as well, when you look at the fact that obviously England's still chasing the extra Champions League place at the moment, the top two in this season's coefficient who would get the extra Champions League place, Italy, who like kind of nearly there, and Germany, For me, it feels, despite Freiburg West Ham, Jim, I think that the fact is that England have a great opportunity to overtake Germany. Because I think if you look at it realistically, favourites for the Champions League, Manchester City. Favourites for the Europa League, Liverpool. Favourites for the Conference League, Aston Villa. We're talking about him here. So I think it is a really important game, but I think fifth will be good for a Champions League place in the Premier League this season.
Mm. There's another game this weekend that kind of represents two of the most exciting teams in the league. This is another one that has massive, massive ding-dong potential, especially because Villa have been so good at Villa Park. Spurs have been really, really gung-ho.
But like Andy says, they're quite dogmatic about that high line, aren't they? I mean, they have to be a little bit more pragmatic when it comes to defending.
This is dogma.
I genuinely
dogma,
don't
though,
know which team you're talking about.
That's
fantastic. It could be either of them. They both play in that style, so that's going to be a very, very interesting battle, isn't it?
Mm.
The game at Spurs was like that. It was mad. It was all over the place, from what I remember, and in a really good way. So I think this might be a really, really fun one. And obviously, I think Richarlison will be back for this game. Mm. He obviously brings a sort of element of chaos, which Spurs have used very, very well. He's been very good for them this season, despite getting a lot of criticism. We have kind of been hearing quite a bit about his sort of Frank Spencerisms lately. So now he's available, maybe he'll get stuck in his loft and have left his phone downstairs. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, manager Ange Postecoglou was asked about his Big Ange nickname recently. My wife's always asking, what if you lose weight? I said, I don't think that's why they call me Big.
I hope he said it in that voice.
He didn't say it in that voice.
I don't think that was a...
In a presser. Good God. Harry Kane might be watching this one over in Germany as well. He revealed in his post-match with CBS that he was watching Monday Night Football in Germany.
But isn't he talking like Monday Night Football, like NFL? He's big NFL
guy,
right?
Yeah, maybe.
No. He was referring specifically
Carragher, wasn't
to
he?
Thierry Henry's praise of him on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. I can't believe he's outed himself as using a VPN.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Well, VPN or even one of those dodgy Amazon Fire Sticks. I think it's disgraceful.
That's one rule for them, isn't it?
I think Charlie needs a good old talking to.
I had no idea you and Hazard were such good baits.
Outrageous. Manchester United versus Everton. Besmirched.
Oh, God.
Host of the Rambles name. Jim.
Just the quality of the games we've been talking about.
And now this. Yeah. Everton are on the longest winless run in the Premier League. 10 games without a win. Astonishing, really, isn't it?
It is a little. They feel better than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember
they'll
saying...
be feeling better than that at the end of the season when they finally go down in their new stadium.
Well, I just look at this and both of these teams are sort of treading on eggshells for completely different reasons, aren't they, this season? It's remarkable to me that Everton haven't won for that long because they do constantly feel better than that. And like I said, when they originally lost the points, of course they've got some of those back now, that this was a good season to lose the points. But since then, obviously, Luton have started to bring something to the table as well. So, you know, Everton aren't quite as safe as I thought they would be at this point.
Yeah.
It was almost like the points deduction gave them a sort of new manager bounce style effect, didn't it? Which has worn off, and they've sort of returned to the mediocrity that has plagued them for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, mediocrity it doesn't tell the whole story, I suppose. According to XG statistics, Everton should have 13 more goals than they currently have.
But that's been their problem ever since the start of the season, hasn't it? You go back to that first game of the season against Fulham, they played quite well and missed a shitload of chances.
Yeah, I mean, one might also suggest that surely the main issue is that XG doesn't take into account any particular player's skill. So if I'm facing a penalty, if I'm taking a penalty and Leo Messi is taking a penalty, the XG is the same, but obviously our skill bases are very different. Mm. Is this only like top level? Is this only like, does this only kind of take into account a Premier League player at that level? Or
I suppose the way you would frame that is if that's not player specific is maybe levelled out by the fact that Dominic Calvert-Lewin hasn't scored for 20 games, which is remarkable.
So it's not just Calvert-Lewin, is it, as well? Because Beto came in and he looked pretty promising at the start, and obviously he scored recently, but he hasn't quite been bringing the goals either. They just don't seem to be able to find them from elsewhere.
Well, they stuck with Calvert-Lewin for way past the point that they probably should have done. Yeah. I realise he does other stuff for the team as well, but when you're in their position, can you be leaving a player who's not scoring in the team for that long? Because Beto's really struggled for minutes, actually. Mm. Now, maybe that's got something to do with how Beto's performed in training or whatever. But I think when you look at it, player for player, Everton aren't anywhere near one of the best sides in the Premier League, obviously. But they're better than bottom four or five. And they should be doing better despite the points deduction. Now, of course, it all feels like we're doing this in pencil because of what's coming with Forest and what might be coming again with Everton, actually. So we'll wait and see. But having said that, it's a weird thing to say, but if you're on a bit of a bad run, if you had to think of where is a place we can go where the crowd is going to get on their backs and they could start tripping themselves over, it's Man United, isn't it?
It's really funny that you say that, because I was thinking Man United are going to be looking at Everton, you know, early kickoff on a Saturday. This is potentially a bottomless brunch for them. They might be I would think they'd be approaching it with confidence, thinking, you know what, this is what we need to sort of like get ourselves back into the form.
I can't see
Everton at this point in time are kind of like, they may have chances, you can let them have chances, but they're clearly not putting any of them away.
Yeah.
I can't see Man United. I can't see past Man United with this one. Well as Roberto De Zerbi, as mentioned earlier on, Man United are also reportedly assessing Gareth Southgate and Thomas Frank as replacements from Erik ten Hag. Ringwood Football Club just did stuff, and then they did stuff, and you didn't hear about it for months in advance. Effectively,
it's almost as if there's like a lack of leadership and total indecision,
and a lot of leaks as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
They're quite different profiles. I suppose. De Zerbi and Frank are probably a little more similar than Southgate is. Southgate feels like a sort of,
he's a bit of an unknown kind of article, I suppose.
Yeah, this iteration of him is, isn't it? For sure. It feels a little bit like an attempt at like a popular move.
Yeah.
But that sort of maybe misreads Southgate.
Where's the club located? It's in England. Let's just get the England manager in.
Sure.
That makes sense. Yeah, they like them. Also, it turns out Gary Neville might be playing a role in the reconstruction of Old Trafford.
This is a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that mean that he's going to have to be in meetings with the Glazers?
I guess so, yeah. Well, both kinds, I imagine, if he's involved in construction.
Imagine they just don't know who he is.
Yeah.
But how annoyed he would be.
Are you the man who's been talking about us on Twitter quite a lot?
But of course, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? That they're going to start using the Man City template. Now, Bruno Fernandes had a bit of pushback. Was it Bruno Fernandes? No, it was Casemiro, wasn't it? Had a bit of pushback last weekend when he said, oh, well, you know, we need to use City as a mirror. We need to copy what
more glazing.
We need to copy what they're doing. But essentially, what Manchester United are going to do off the pitch, or their idea for not just redeveloping Old Trafford, but redeveloping the area around it, that is exactly what's made City so successful, isn't it, off the pitch?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Apparently, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been on a podcast of some repute, Neville's podcast, and talked about his time at Man United. He explained that the players often said no to taking the captain's armband. They didn't want to say it themselves. They spoke through people upon people and, you know, allies in the dressing room. He says it's a different generation. It's Gen Z. Do Gen Zers want that armband? Are they going to get avocado toast on it?
Possibly. It's a funny one, isn't it?
They're going to sell it to buy a house, which they won't be able to, etc.
And so on. There's been a sort of common theme about Solskjaer's time at Old Trafford, hasn't he, talking about that generation. I do just think, like, that is your job to manage that.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to find a way to manage it. You have to have more in your locker than memories of what Alex Ferguson did.
I love managers that just sort of absolutely hang themselves out to dry with these comments. Yeah, all the players were like really unmotivated. Yeah, it's weird that, isn't it? It's weird. Apparently, Harry Maguire was made captain instead of Bruno Fernandes because he was too passionate for it. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to Solskjaer, he's not the first manager to try and change that dressing room culture and come up short. There's clearly something that has been kind of wrong there for a long time and that no one has managed to fix. And presumably this is the first task of the new ownership as well.
Yeah. Man United are making a lot of changes upstairs, of course, as discussed. Coventry City, though, their head of recruitment, Jim, has got into a bit of spot of bother this week. Dean Austin was at the Watford game and someone took a picture over his shoulder of him WhatsApping Coventry's manager, Mark Robbins. We can't go into what was actually written on that phone because people do have a well-publicised right to privacy under UK law. But it was very much the size of the font on his WhatsApp that offended me. I mean, it was proper like dad who refuses to get varifocals, like lenses. Just massive font. It's no... You may as well have done it on a placard, Jim.
He's saying he's asking for it.
Yeah. It's just looking, like just reading massive, massive bits of text.
It's a bit like reading, like wearing a T-shirt with your email address and password on
it. Exactly. Yeah, your mother's maiden name, stuff like that.
He's trying to sue the person, isn't he?
I think he's
breach of privacy.
I think he's basically said that whoever took that picture and publicised it is breaching my privacy, which is true. But I would say that if you get to court with that, the judge will sort of go, sorry, how? Just wear glasses, mate, and make your text a normal size. There was like three letters on that screen at any one time.
It's the weird thing, isn't it? I remember, I think probably Glenn Hoddle was the first one when he was a manager, talking into his phone.
Yeah.
Or into a, like, intercom, and putting his hand over his mouth.
He started
like this.
Then?
And I remember looking at him. Players do that quite a lot now, don't they? Players and coaches. Mm. I remember thinking, like, the first time I saw that from Glenn Hoddle and from subsequent, like, players and coaches, it's like, get over it. It's not like anyone's going to write it down and put it on Twitter. It turns out they are.
They are, yeah. Yeah. They are exactly going to do that, yeah. It's a real shame. Have you ever been caught on a long lens, Jim, typing something
not to my knowledge.
Potentially sexy to a partner? You have seen that.
If there's anyone who's going to stalk me and, like, photograph that sort of thing, it's you.
It's
so
me,
you
yeah,
tell me.
Correct, exactly. I'll look on my camera roll. I'll find out. All right, it is time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with a 90-minute payout where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today, we are billing an Acca of four match odds 90 bets from across the weekend's football. Andy, you've gone for Brighton versus Nottingham Forest. Who's going to win that one then?
I have gone for Nottingham Forest to win. I think they've worn out all their bad luck last week, and also
that's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Also, I think, talking of worn out, Brighton are going to struggle to lift themselves for this one.
Okay, well, Jim, you've got the big one, the big ding dong in the Premier League, Liverpool Manchester City. What have you gone for?
I have gone for a draw.
Piss off.
Yes, it's what I want to happen. But there are two very, very good clubs. I think they might, if not cancel each other out, be on as even by the end of it.
All right, well, Marcus is speaking to us beyond the grave. Ooh.
Hello, everybody. It's me. I'm going to go for Aston Villa to beat Tottenham Hotspur. Yes. Yes, that's what I'm going for.
You want to give a reason?
No.
And I've gone for Manchester United to beat Everton. I've got 8 out of 15 correct. This is a real chance for me to creep over that kind of 50%. Mark.
Nice.
A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £451.79. And if we win that cash, all of it will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. We've raised £650 already this season. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full on 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every single week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Time for this.
Beansmith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
I think it's a real shame how poor this game's been the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Very just aggressive people arguing about whose nation they're in, who's been cheating, why the questions aren't on.
We're coming to the business end of the season, Pete.
We are, yeah. It's getting emotional, isn't it? I just think you've all let yourself down. It is a simple game of categories. If you go to slow, you'll be hearing Gary Neville. Luke Moore returned the lineal belt last week after possibly the most unexpected winning answer in Jackson Encyclopedia action. David Icke. Yeah. Yeah. Good goalkeeper. Good
Although the most expected person to come out with it, perhaps.
I met his son. He was the his son was the England goalkeeper for the beach soccer team.
Is that right?
And was just as weird as his dad. Give me Andy Brass. We're going to start with you. Give me the 21 players who have received the most yellow cards in Premier League history. This is from the very first season, 1992-1993.
Olivier Decor.
No.
Shit.
That's a shame. That is a shame. That's
He's got loads.
Shame. He has got loads, but he did not have the most yellow cards in Premier League history.
I mean, you always say a quick game's a good game. This is going to be really fucking quick, isn't it?
We've only got two people playing it. Jim Campbell.
Gareth Barry.
Oh, Gareth Barry. Yes, the most. 123. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Nasty man. What a nasty man.
Who are some of the
some of the... I mean, obviously, we can't go through all of them.
Yeah, we can't go all of them. Ashley Young's up there, Gavin McCann, George Boateng, James Milner, 75. Who else is up there? Barton, okay. Of course, Davies, Kevin Nolan, Lee Bowyer. I'll just go through them. Lee Cattermole, Mark Noble, Nicky Butt, Patrick Vieira, Paul Ince, Paul Scholes, Phil Bardsley, Phil Neville. A lot of Phil's in there. Richard Dunn, Robbie Savage, Scott Parker. And Wayne Rooney's got over 100. Ah. Good on him. I think he's one of the only... Yeah, he's one of two players who have got over 100.
Nice mention for Lee Cattermole, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Old Clattermole himself. Right, number two, Jim, you're starting in this round. Give me every player that made an appearance in Manchester City's title-winning season in
2011-2012. Yes. James Milner.
Yes.
Gareth Barry.
Gareth Barry. He's up there.
Nigel de Jong.
Nigel de Jong.
Sergio Aguero.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Hart.
Yes, the only player who appeared in every game.
Mario Balotelli.
Mario Balotelli, 14 appearances.
Pablo Zabaleta.
Pablo Zabaleta, yes, he did.
Edin Dzeko.
Edin Dzeko.
Alexander Kolarov.
Alexander Kolarov, correct.
Julian Lescott.
Julian Lescott is in there.
David Silva.
David Silva, correct.
Yaya Toure.
Yaya Toure.
Gael Clichy.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. On the list. This is a good round.
Vincent Kompany.
Vincent Kompany. Vamont.
Samin Nasri.
Ooh, yes. He's in there. You guys are doing very well.
Were.
It's Torres!
Costel Pantelimon.
Jim Campbell wins!
Yes!
That is a shame. You could have had Abdul Razak, you could have had Carlos Tevez, seven appearances, six off the bench. You could have had Kolo Touré, of course, Mika Richards, Nedimanoa. He had one substitute appearance, Owen Hargreaves, Stefan Savic, and Adam Johnson. Right, we are congratulating Jim for a fine win. You got anything to say? Any
huge,
post-match things to say?
It's a huge win for Clan Campbell. It's what some of the people want. Some don't.
Yeah, okay. The Jim Nation.
Rousing words, Jim.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, it's a problematic clan.
Yeah, who's right, getting the
cancer
for next season?
We own that. So.
That's what we do.
Get
all
fucked,
right.
McDonald's.
All right, well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. You can join us three tomorrow for the mailbag, where we are answering your questions, what you have asked. And there are some absolute stonkers in there, so do make sure you listen over the weekend. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify, or even follow us on Spotify. Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Good guy.
See you later, Jim.
Lee Sater.
Oh, we got some football for you this weekend. Free kicks, throw-ins, 3 points if you're a lucky boy.
It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Fuck off. I went too long with the stupid nonsense.
I liked it.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
I'll do it again.
Oh, we got some real football for you this weekend. 3 points for a win, free kicks, throw-ins, the whole gamut. The Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. It's too long.
Give it a go. We can squeeze our names in.
We got some real football for you this weekend. 3 points for a win, if you're a lucky boy. Throw-ins, free kicks, the law. Welcome to the Football Ramble Goal!
Sorry.
Everything all right?
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.